Well, I hope you've all had a good Christmas and you're enjoying the festive season so far. And Christmas is a time of year, isn't it, when perhaps we experience the power of the tongue in many different ways. There was a survey carried out a few years ago which found that the average family had their first argument on Christmas Day at 9:58 a.m. I wonder whether you're above average or below average according to that. It also found that the average parent had told their children off by 11:07 a.m. I think personally that's quite optimistic actually at 11 o'clock. I think that's, you're doing pretty well if that's the case for you. Well, at a time when excitement is running high, when there's lots of tension, perhaps people are all together, our words can get out of control. We can say things that we later regret. But I'm sure many of us have also benefited from kind words, from helpful words this Christmas season. Perhaps a nice message that was written in a card, maybe at a phone call or a Skype conversation with a friend in a distant place. The tongue has great power, both for good and for harm. And that's what the proverb that Alan read to us at the start of our service says. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, this morning we're going to spend some time thinking about the power of the tongue and just reflect on how we use our tongues as we approach a new year and new opportunities in 2014. So let's look firstly at the power of the tongue. If you have that passage in James open in front of you, we're going to be looking particularly at verses 3 to 8 in this section. So the power of the tongue. And this passage in James chapter 3, it comes right in the middle of a letter to a group of Christians who are scattered throughout the first century world in different countries. And if you don't know the letter, you probably know some of the famous quotes that come out of it. And particularly this passage in chapter 3 is very well known, particularly for its vivid language, the words that James uses here to describe the tongue. And James draws on three very vivid illustrations to make the same point. And the basic point he's making in these verses is that the tongue may be small in stature, but it has a big impact. As verse 5 says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. So what it lacks in size, it makes up in its impact. And James drills that home using these three illustrations. Firstly, in verse 3, he uses the illustration of a horse's bit. Now, among the sports that I enjoy watching, dressage isn't usually one of them. But it's actually quite a sport that we're doing quite well at the moment for Britain. And it's amazing when you look at what these riders do with these horses. They're dancing across these arenas. And yet they're controlling these huge horses with a tiny bit of metal. A bit of metal that's in the horse's mouth, a bit that's connected to the reins, and these skillful riders can move these horses gracefully across the arena. And the same is true of the tongue. It's small in comparison to the rest of the body, and yet it has a huge impact. And then there's the illustration in verse 4 of a ship's rudder. And you don't need to be a sailor to know that a rudder is a really important part of the ship. If you're out in the sea in strong winds and you don't have a rudder, then you're in trouble. You can get in all kinds of difficulties as you go towards the rocks or go towards other ships. But with a little rudder on your boat, you can manoeuvre a huge ship in the direction that you want it to go in. So the horse's bit and the ship's rudder, they're images of small things that control much bigger things. And in the same way, our words can control and manipulate others, sometimes without us realising it, or sometimes with us knowing exactly what we're doing when we use our words. Do you ever stop to think about the influence that your words can have on other people? I mean, they may just seem insignificant throwaway comments, but they can have a huge impact on other people's lives. That person that you just unfairly criticised, well, they could spend the rest of today gripped by anxiety and worry because of what you've said. They may not sleep very well tonight. Your bitter, angry outburst could have untold effect on somebody's life. Could have huge damage beneath the surface that you can't see. Those hurtful jokes or the sarcastic remarks, they could really knock somebody's confidence. Or on the other hand, giving undue praise to someone who's already puffed up and has a big ego, well, it could build them up even more in their pride. And those are all negative things. But our words can also have great power for good. Just think of the difference a small word of encouragement could make today to somebody if you spoke it. A simple card or a text message saying that you're praying for somebody. Think of how wise, godly advice can help somebody avoid a foolish course of action. Our tongue is small, but it has a big impact. And that's seen most vividly in the third illustration in this section, a small spark in verses 5 and 6. And here the image is of a small thing, like a small spark, that has great chaos when it's let loose on a bigger thing, like a huge forest. And people in some parts of Australia at the moment, they're preparing for the bushfire season. And maybe you remember the pictures last year on the TV when people were desperately trying to stop their property being consumed by these great balls of fire that were going through the countryside. In hot, dry conditions, the slightest spark can cause a huge inferno. They can destroy thousands of acres of forest. And James says, just think of that little fire. Think of that spark and the chaos it creates. And you've got an accurate picture of your own tongue. The tongue also is a fire, he says. It's a world of evil. In other words, all the evil and unrighteousness in the world around us, it can find its expression through our tongues, through the words that we say. Foul language, dirty jokes, innuendos, gossip, slander, lies, cruel taunts, demeaning put-downs. Everything that's evil and ungodly in the world around us finds its expression through our tongues. No wonder, James says, the tongue corrupts the whole person. And its destructive power can set on fire the whole course of our lives, or the lives of those who are close to us. Now, as somebody who used to work with words for a living, I know how destructive words can be. I've shared this story with the New Horizons group, but I once killed a man with my words. In the newspaper, I called somebody the late Mr. So-and-so, when actually he was very much alive. Now, it did no lasting harm. The man forgave me, and we didn't even have to put an apology in the paper. The only damage that was caused was to my pride. But you know, our words can cause the power of death. Not literally, but they can have the same destructive power that death can cause. I'm sure that you all know of relationships that have been destroyed because of the words that have crossed between two people. Words can cause divisions in families. Words can cause friendships to break up. Maybe it was an angry accusation, or a false rumour, or a confidence that was betrayed, or an unforgiving rebuke. Words have destructive power. And you may know the pain of this personally, either because of words that were used against you, and you still feel the pain of them. They still echo in your mind as you think back to that moment when somebody spoke those words and they destroyed a part of your life. Or maybe words that you use against somebody else and now you regret them. You wish you could turn back the time. You wish you could just take those words back out of your mouth after speaking them, but you can't. The damage has been done. Now, relationships need words to grow. Without words, we can't build friendships. We can't build relationships. As Bob Hoskins used to remind us in the BT advert, it's good to talk. We need to talk. We need to use words. But words can also tear relationships apart. And I think this is why when you read the New Testament epistles to the churches, Paul often talks about the speech of Christians, and he often instructs believers on how they should use their words. For example, in Ephesians 4, verse 29, he says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You know, the devil would love to cause disunity in the church here at TCM by using our words, the words that we use together as a church family, the words that we use against each other, to cause destruction and division. After all, James says in verse 6 that the source of this destructive power of the tongue is hell. The tongue is set on fire by the place where the fire never goes out. So remember how powerful your words can be. Whenever you open your mouth to speak, you have the potential to bring life or death. You can encourage and build up, or you can destroy and tear down. So that's how much impact our words can have. Then surely we'll want to be careful about the way that we use them. So we're going to consider now how we use our tongue, the use of the tongue. And we're looking here at verses 7 to 12 in particular. When we think about using our tongue, there's a big problem here that James presents us with, because he says in verses 7 to 8 that all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But there is an exception. No man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. So here's another vivid illustration that James gives us. An untamable animal. Now perhaps it sounds to you like James has been a bit overdramatic here when he talks about this untamable animal as our tongues. But consider your own attempts to tame your tongue. Have they worked? Or do you still find yourself using words that you later regret? All of us at times, when we're in those heated situations, we just blurt out with things that later on we regret saying. Once our words leave our mouth, that's it. We can't chase after them and kind of drag them back into our mouths. Once they're out, that's it. And it's the same with the hasty email or the text message that we send without thinking about the content. Or maybe the unwise tweet or Facebook post. It seems a week doesn't go by without some high-profile person having to apologise for what they posted on a social networking site. Perhaps you heard about the motorist a month or two ago who was convicted of driving offences after she tweeted that she knocked over a cyclist. However much we try to tame our tongues, words will always get out which we didn't mean to say, or we didn't mean to intend it that way. James says our tongues are like untamable animals. They can't be pinned down. They can't be controlled. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And in verse 9, James reveals that the true extent of that evil. And just let these words sink in as you hear them. James says that with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. The same tongue can praise God and it can curse men. The website Desiring God made a video a few years ago which illustrated this verse. And it showed a family getting ready for church on a Sunday morning. And there was a grumpy husband who was angry with his wife and his children. He kept snapping at them and telling them off. And in return, they got angry with him, and they reacted defensively at his words. And this continued as they got in the car. And then suddenly, they arrived at church, and a transformation happened, and suddenly they were this lovely, happy family. I don't know whether that sounds familiar to you. You've had a blazing row in the car park, but as soon as you get into church, everything's fine, and it's all smiles. Well, the video ended with this grumpy husband singing praise to God during the service. But you know, we'd seen what had happened before that. We'd seen how he'd been using his words against his family. And his praise and his worship seemed hollow and worthless. You see, when you step back and when you see someone acting in this way, praising God just a few moments after cursing his family, or other members of the congregation, or church leaders, or whoever it might be, you realise the true evil of the tongue. And it shouldn't be this way. But all too often, it is. We turn up at a church on a Sunday morning to sing praise to God. But how have we been using our words in the previous week? We got caught up in the office gossip, or the rumours that have been circling around our friends about such and such a person. Have we spoken angrily against those who are closest to us? And James says there's a fundamental problem. If we speak words of praise to God, but we're also speaking words of cursing to our family and our friends. And he describes this problem with another illustration in verses 9 to 12. And it's a polluted spring. A polluted spring. And James' question there in verse 11 doesn't need an answer, because it's obvious what he's saying. Can both salt water and fresh water flow from the same spring? Well, of course it can't. You can't speak words of praise to God and words of cursing to men. In God's sight, both are polluted. If foul words of cursing are coming out of your mouth, then there's a problem with the source. Those words don't just come out of nowhere. There's a place that they begin, where they start. So where do they come from? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 12, verse 34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we want to use our words in the right way, we need to get our hearts right first. That's what James is trying to show these Christians that he's writing to. He wants them to see that the reason why they're quarrelling and they're arguing against each other, the reason why they're boasting and saying awful things with their tongues, is because their hearts aren't right. Their hearts are polluted. That's our root problem. Whenever we speak unkind words, whenever we speak words that cause hurt and pain to others, they reveal our polluted hearts. You see, the words aren't the real issue. The words, our tongue, are just a microphone for what's going on in our hearts. That's where the issue is. The reason why that grumpy husband in the video was shouting at his family was because his heart was polluted. And that was seen in the bad fruit coming from his lips. You see, he was following the wisdom of the world, which chapter 3 goes on to talk about. He was harbouring bitter envy and selfish ambition in his heart. His wife and his kids weren't meeting the expectations that he expected of them, so he got angry. They weren't following his agenda for that morning, so he snapped at them. They were ruining his plans. They risked making him look less impressed in front of others. And so he scowled and sulked at his loved ones. And then he has the audacity to worship God. You know, I could so easily be like that grumpy husband, especially on Sunday mornings when tensions can run high in the Miller household. In fact, all too often I am that grumpy husband. I do get angry with my children when they don't follow my agenda and they go off and do things I don't want them to do. I do snap at my wife when she doesn't do what I expected her to do this morning. And all of this comes out of a selfish heart. A heart that harbours bitterness and envy and pride. A heart that cares more about myself than it does about God and about others. It's out of this polluted spring of my heart that the tongue flows with wicked words. So where's the hope for us as we enter into a new year with these untamable animals in our mouths? How can we use our words in a godly way, in a way that builds up? Well, in John chapter 8, Jesus says something very revealing to those who didn't accept him as the Son of God. And he says these words to them: "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Do you know what one of the main weapons the devil uses? It's the tongue. That's what he uses to produce his rebellious lies, which entice us to sin. And while we're under the power and control of Satan, he'll use us to spread those lies, to spread those murderous words that hurt and destroy others. But the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work. He died and he rose again to set us free from the control of Satan, and particularly the control he has over our speech. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that means that we don't go on sinning anymore. If we've been set free, our pattern of life and behaviour has changed. We're not the same people anymore. If you're a born-again believer this morning, then the Holy Spirit is working in your heart through the Word of God to transform you, to make you into a new person, a new creation. And we should find that our tongue more often speaks words of life than they do words of death. Now, there'll be times when we slip up and fail. There'll be many occasions when we say words that we regret. But Jesus' victory gives us hope. And you know, now we have the choice. We didn't have a choice before about how we used our words. We could only follow the wisdom of the world. We were only under the power of Satan. But now we've been set free, and we can choose to use words that build up other people, that encourage, that comfort others. So this morning you've been convicted about how you've been using your words, perhaps in recent days, or as you've looked over the past year. And don't despair, because Jesus breaks the power of cancelled sin. Jesus sets the prisoner free, even those who are prisoners to the power of their own tongue. And his blood can make the foulest clean. Whatever you said in the past, however vile or bitter or malicious it was, whatever damage it caused to others or to yourself, it can be forgiven and it will be forgotten if you trust in his blood to wash you clean. Jesus' words have the power to bring life to our dead hearts. If we listen to him, if we stop listening to the lies of the devil, if we stop listening to that voice which tells us that we always need to defend ourselves when somebody else attacks us, if we stop listening to that voice that tells us that we need the last word in every argument, that we need to make that comment or that joke, that we need to get our point of view across, whatever the cost to others. So let's purify our hearts from bitter envy and selfish ambition. Let's seek instead the wisdom that comes from heaven. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And may all those Christ-like qualities be seen in the way that we use our words in this coming year.